It's a good win. There's a lot of people. It's like Woodstock, except everybody's got their clothes on.
I'm gonna eat a damn snack.
You're like my wife when you get in space. You just get lost.
Short steps are better than long steps. That's the only time in your life you're gonna hear short is better than long.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to 614 Headsets, the weekly podcast where we say strategy meets story. We're three high school football coaches from Columbus, Ohio, who think this game is nothing but a lifestyle. We absolutely love football, and we're excited because this is an awesome time in football, man. You know what I mean? This is a time where it's all the possibilities about what your team is going to be for next year. Clinic season is upon us. We've got the state clinic coming up here within the next week. And we also have the 614 Headsets Clinic. Definitely want to make sure everybody knows the second annual clinic that we're putting on is March 15th. We're back again at Polaris Cohatch. We definitely want you to check it out. It's a bigger clinic and better than ever. I'm excited to see what we're doing here in year two. So head over to 614headsets.com. Click on the 2025 Coaches Clinic, and you're going to see event details. You're going to see speaker lineup, which we just updated today. And we just want to see everybody there and put on a great show, man. A coaches clinic by coaches for coaches.
Now, you said something that was interesting, Kyle. Yeah, and you're right. Everybody right now has the possibility to think about their future season. And I had somebody ask me the other day, I was like, Coach, how are you guys going to be next year? Of course, I think we're going to be pretty good. It's January or February. I'm not going to say we're going to be bad. And so that I think it is a unique time, and we all get to enjoy this time. So enjoy this episode.
Absolutely. This is one of the slow periods of football, but it's also some of the most fun and unique with stuff that we get to do on this show and the way we get to interact with other coaches. Clinic of this show coming up. Hope you guys enjoyed this upcoming episode.
As we get started with this episode, 614 Headsets is proud to be sponsored by Fundraising University Ohio. Fundraising University Ohio offers a variety of fundraising efforts that helps football teams run profitable, effective, and fast-paced fundraisers designed to raise the most money in the shortest amount of time to reach their fundraising goals. Fundraising University Ohio is locally owned, operated, and with their six-step blitz system will help your team maximize profits. Brent Maxwell with Fundraising University will sit down and help you strategize and execute your fundraiser. If you're interested in us running a fundraiser for you, please contact Brent at the letter B, Maxwell at fundraisingu.net or 740-501-8946 to learn how you can get started with fundraising.
Excited for another episode with one of my other coaches, man. I feel like I've had this season already had a ton of people on that I've made relationships with through either like playing or coaching as well. And tonight we got Coach Tyler Johns on. He's at Gardner Webb right now. I made connection with Coach Johns when we were at Ohio Dominican, and he was our O-line coach, which we were super blessed to have him over there as well. Coach Johns, talk a little bit about your journey and where you're at right now.
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate the introduction. And I think you hit one of the really cool parts about coaching football, right? You get to go make these really neat connections, and it is cool seeing things come full circle. I watched you grow up and move on, and now you're the head coach, and the way that you're impacting lives too, man. Like, it's really cool to see. I think that's one of the neat things in coaching, the relationships that you build, and even getting to know these other guys just from them bringing the team up to Tiffin and doing team camp and all those kind of things, and getting to watch these guys coach, getting to learn from them too. I think that's the part that a lot of guys miss, man, is like, I certainly don't have it all figured out. And so when I get to be around guys like you guys, there's so much that you guys have probably had to fix problems that maybe I haven't had to fix before. And you're taking truly unmolded clay and turning it into something great. And I think there's something really special to that, man. And just that's the part that I really love about this thing, man. Getting to build the relationships with guys, getting to make the friendships and the bonds that certainly last a long time, you know? And so, yeah, a little bit of my background, man. I'm from Northwest Ohio. I had the opportunity to go up and played there for 4 years at the University of Findlay. Got done playing, man, and moved right into coaching. Started coaching at the junior college level. had an awesome experience. Obviously, JUCO ball is in the center stage right now with some of the rulings, and I think there's always so much negative around it. I think the thing that I would say more than anything is I had an awesome experience at that level. There are so many good coaches, good dudes, like guys that are in it for the right reasons. And I had an awesome experience at that level, and then was fortunate enough to go on and caught a break, man, and spent the next 3 years in the Big Ten. Was a GA at the University of Illinois there and worked with the O-line, the tight ends a little bit. Got to be around some really tremendous men and leaders, guys, whether it was guys that I got to GA with that you're sitting in the back closet going through it and spending all day and all night together and just grinding it out like you do when you're a GA. And those guys that have gone on and had big time success and was able to work with some really cool people, some guys that have really helped me in my journey. And then from there, that's when we linked up, Schiff. I was able to come back to Ohio and work there at Ohio Dominican for 2 seasons and had an awesome experience. I was around a really good group of guys, a bunch of guys that had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and weren't necessarily the biggest, the fastest, the most highly recruited guys. But at the end of the day, I'll never forget. I remember sitting in a team meeting and Coach Cummings is talking about culture eats talent. You know how he gets, right? He's pointing at you and everything. And culture eats talent. And that was so cool there because that's ODU football. Those guys are going to go punch you in the mouth and see what you're going to do about it.
Just smack them Ashland Eagles around. You know where Kyle's from.
Kyle was undefeated against them.
Dude.
Oh, man. That rain game in 18, man. That's still one of my favorite games I've ever been a part of. And so was there for
2018 Sayers. But crying out loud, I stopped playing in 2010, dude.
Were you still – was that your senior year?
Yes. You talking about Sayers?
Yeah. Was 18 was your senior year?
I graduated senior year, yeah.
That was a fun game, man.
Oh, yeah.
And then was fortunate enough to go up to Tiffin University there for the next 5 years. And I think you guys know this because you've been able to be at a place and – when you're at a place long enough that you watch every player walk through the front door for the first time, like there's something really cool to that. Built some incredible relationships, was around some really awesome people, got to know families, got to know those kids so much deeper than the 2 to 6. It was like those guys became family. When
I see you still have Tiffin in the colors in the background. I see the green.
That's blue. I promise. That's blue.
Doesn't it look green for you guys?
It does. It's the light.
See, I thought he had green and was still loving the colors for a second.
Nah, man. No, we're all in on the dogs now. Nah.
You know? It's that Renaissance man cave color. You know what it I mean? Does. That's I that love classy it. Deep yeah, green yeah. With the brass is, in the background. Look at the flex.
Hey, this is D1 money now, office. You know?
He's got the brass fixtures.
That's what you get D1 coordinator money right there.
No, this is the wife's office, man. I just had to sneak in here and I had to break the lock so I could get in.
Coach, you gave a shout out to Northwest Ohio, but I didn't catch what high school did you graduate from and play?
So I went to Waynesfield Goshen High School, and a small school that really has produced a lot of talent. Coach, you would have played with Joe Horn up there, right? And
yeah.
Joe is one of my absolute closest friends in the world, and
he's got a head job himself.
Heck yeah, he did, man. Go Titans.
I gotta be honest though. I as a former offensive lineman myself, I used to hate Joe Horn because he was the Division II track player of the year. This dude was really good. And he played wide receiver too. And we'd line up and we'd be running 110s. And him and a few of the other track guys would not even break a sweat. Like you would have thought they were walking.
Right.
I'm like dying, right? Like I'm like praying to the Lord above. I don't know about you guys, but every Friday when we ran run tents, I swear it would be cloudy when we walked in and the sun would just open up and start baking just down on you.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is it. This is where I die.
Kyle, these guys cannot just say anything about any workouts to me. Coach Johns knows what I went through for that 1 year, for that one off season.
Oh, man.
When I was suspended for a second. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure, Ryan, you just like everybody in prison, like how they say everybody's innocent. You were innocent.
Yeah, it was, yeah, of course he was.
The group was called the convict group, but I was the only one to make it through.
Hey, you didn't do anything wrong.
That's hilarious. You were the only one in it.
No, there was three other dudes. I was the only one to make it through. Cummings says this to this day. I was the only one to make it through his convict training.
That's awesome. I didn't know that there was the connection with Joe, so I'm glad I asked. Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, shout out Joe, and hopefully he's had a good start to his new head coaching career.
He's
so
up there for sure.
Let's get to know this guy a little bit more, Ryan. Let's get into what's been dubbed some people's favorite segment of late.
It's definitely my favorite. The Pick Six segment is powered by Story Rivals. Sports media, championships, friendships, and life lessons are among the most meaningful parts of the athletic competition. They are passionate about preserving them by offering the most unique highlight experience available.
That's right. And Story Rivals delivers your team's content with services designed to change the way you experience these unforgettable moments now and for a lifetime. Story Rivals now offers a complete team apparel and player shop customizable to your program. Contact them by email at info@storyrivals.com to schedule an appointment with a member of their team. Coaches are also going to be at the state clinic here coming up next week. So you can stop by, see their booth, say hello, sign up to see what services they offer and the quality of their stuff. It's top notch. We used them and it was great. So go ahead and check them out. So Ryan, you got the first question. Go ahead.
Coach, for you guys, like you were at D2 level for a while. What was the biggest challenge for you to from leaving D2 to go into D1, do you think?
Yeah, I think for me, man, like the very first thing that I screwed up when I got here was I think in my head a little bit, I went, oh, it's D1 football now. And I tried to coach the guys here the same way that I did the guys who had been with us for 4 and 5 years at Tiffin. I think it serves as a reminder that at the end of the day, you always have to start from square one. And you've got to build a really solid foundation and build on it. When it does take time, it's not, you're not going to walk in and I tell those guys all the time, look, man, I asked you guys to drink out of a fire hose and I shouldn't have. And so I think for me, that was the biggest challenge, was just remembering that at the end of the day, man, they're all 18 to 21. And at the end of the day, man, you got to find a way to reach everybody no matter what.
I'll never forget walking into the first O-line session that Coach Stouten and I did with those kids. So I graduated from Miami and started coaching with them within a year of finishing up playing. Yep. And didn't really know too much what I was doing yet and was doing some drills. And Stouten and I looking at each other, watching these kids' faces of this is not how this is about to start off, like just completely changing the mindset with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was a fun part.
No, Stout knew. Stout threw you into the water to see how you would do, let you go. And then at the end, I said, how do you think it went? That's me teaching you and developing you a little bit. Like, I was evaluating you, too, and I just threw you into the water. And then it was from there, like, all right, here's how I would have done it and helped you out a little bit.
It's always nice having a mentor from a different era, 90s football-ish. It's really nice in Coach Stout having that kind of mentor, so –
Stout, you can say what you want to say, but I'll keep it like that.
Right? Coach, my first question for you.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite offensive lineman of all time?
Man, of all time. It's funny, like we our unit mantra and all that we took from the original Hogs. I really, Joe Jacoby is my favorite guy of all time. And I know that a lot of people are like, there are a lot of dudes out there that you could have picked.
He's been snubbed from the Hall of Fame.
But man, like that was, I think that they were one of the first times that you really saw an offensive line take center stage. It was, they were going to play bully ball and it didn't matter what you were going to do against them. And I really like that mindset. And so we've modeled some things and tried to pay homage to those guys a little bit, man. And yeah, a little bit out there, man, but that's my favorite.
I love it. Hail to the Redskins. That's awesome.
Take notes, please, Donovan.
Coach, it's the commander. It's the Commanders, dude. You're not the Redskins, bro.
It might come back.
Hey, my episode can't be the one that gets canceled on us.
No. Yeah, dude. No, it's
We're Commanders. This is episode 64. Are. There's been a lot up until now. I flipped it up and changed it a little bit. I had something written down and it made me think about it. Talk to me about year two, Coach. I keep seeing the social media posts with the hatchet and the edge. Yeah. Talk to me what edge is. I think last year it was don't flinch, and I know a lot of guys like that, and I've seen that. Talk to me like what edge is for this year coming up.
Yeah, for sure. So the way that we do things, man, is like the program culture is the program culture. It's the same from the day these kids walk in the door to the day they graduate, right? That'll never change. But year to year, what we try to find is an ethos to the program. It's really, you go back and you look at the previous year, you look at the team you got and go, okay, what do these guys need? And so edge for us is effort, discipline, grit, and energy, right? And those are the four things that we're going to really emphasize this offseason. Those are the four things that, frankly, like we're going to grade the guys every day on. We're a very competitive program, right? We start a team meeting with two guys up there playing Rochambeau. Just anything silly to get these guys to compete all the time. And I think that for us, that the edge is just one more way to keep them competing.
Sweet graphic too, so keep it up.
There we go. Hey, you know what? The best part about it, the graphic is actually one of our former players has gotten into some graphic design stuff, and so it's a neat way to help him launch himself too.
Cool.
Coach, my next question is, what is like one quote that you try to live by with your either your players or even just yourself as well? What's like your favorite quote to live by?
Yeah, man, to make me pick one, it's hard. I have two things. I've had two things written up on the wall in my office for as long as I can remember. Number one is love your brother. I really believe that brotherhood is the roots that we took from ODU, man. We're like, you might not have the biggest, fastest, strong, whatever it is, but when those guys are going to go play for each other, that's an unstoppable force.
That's all. That was the best thing about ODU is it was all about just playing for Ohio Dominican.
Yeah, you guys played for each other, and that was so cool to be a part of. So that's one. And then the other is that effort is the greatest equalizer in life. I think that's a very true statement. I think that certainly in my life, and I think we've all probably experienced this, there's always going to be somebody that's a little more talented, a little more this, a little more that. But, man, when you're willing to drag them to the deep end and out-tread them, that's a powerful thing.
Love it. Coach, my next question is, between your various coaching stops at different levels, what do you think thus far in your career has been the most influential coaching stop for you?
Yeah, I really think that last year that I was a grad assistant was a really pivotal year for me. So that would have been the 16 season. I had an opportunity going into that year to had a couple full-time jobs pop up and almost came back to Ohio then, you know, and we had a staff change and I got to be a part of Lovey Smith's first staff there at the University of Illinois. And so that was obviously a big deal for me. But the staff that he put together, man, the thing that was really neat about those guys is up to that point, I had learned a lot about coaching. And they were the first guys that really challenged me to learn how to teach. And I think that when you take a teaching mindset to coaching, I think that your guys end up being a lot more prepared. I grew up, my mom's a teacher. And so I've seen her preparing lesson plans and trying to break it all down to be able to take them step by step. And when I was with that staff there in 16, that was something they really emphasized. They really taught me how to be a better teacher of football, not just go out and blow my whistle and yell at everybody. And I'm very thankful for that.
I got so many nuggets written down, some fire stuff. I can't wait to put it out there after we're done with this.
But oh, no.
Little lighter here, Coach. Final question. You're wrapping up the recruiting time of January for you guys. Go-to snack or guilty pleasure on the road recruiting? You're driving, you're hitting, as you said, pounding the pavement. What are you snacking on, man?
Man, I don't even know what they're called, but I stopped at a gas station the other morning and bought, like, look, 5 days in the week, I bought 5 packs of those little, whatever those little gummy things with the nerds in them. Oh, my God, I love
them. It's Ryan's favorite, man.
I love them. I bought 5 bags of them for the trip.
What do they call them, nerds clusters?
Yes, that's what it is.
Coach, the nerd clusters, was it the blue pack or the purple pack?
The purple pack.
Fire. But the blue pack is fire's look. I'm telling you right now.
It's like a rocket pop pack.
Don't get me started. Every day at football, I have a bag of candy out on the football field in my pocket.
I'm with you, man.
There's no doubt. Like, even the kids know I'm always going to have candy. My one coach is always going to have sunflower seeds. I go to the little corner store. Those are like little boxes. They're like 25 cents a piece.
Yep.
Always in my pocket at practice, like lemon heads and stuff, just immature candy.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm right there with you, man.
Full circle moment. I think last time we asked that question, that came up as Ryan's favorite, or maybe it was we were asking favorite candy around Halloween. So I had to pull an oldie out. Hey, let's get into it. Let's get into some actual football X's and O's here, Donovan. Let's go.
All right, we're talking all things O-line, and we're talking six-man pass protection here with Coach Sean. So, Sayers, get ready to learn some real football here from the offensive line side. And that main topic today is sponsored, of course, by First Down Playbook. First Down Playbook is the nation's leading playbook and play design software with over 35,000 professionally drawn and editable team plays with notes and full playbook start from. You'll be on your way to getting an edge over the competition. First Down Playbook could be your entire team management system with practice schedules, scripts, custom quarterback wristbands, and more. If you use the code HEADSETS25 or mention us in your purchase, you will receive 15% off what's already the most affordable option in today's game. So the link is in our show notes. You can find it all over our Twitter. I believe they also have a section at the State Clinic, or they're going to pop through at least. They got some reps in the area that'll be there walking around in their gear. So if you're looking to evaluate your playbook needs, now is the time, and First Down Playbook is the company to go with. Coach, the first question we'll get into is, can you just, you know, through your own experience and how you teach it, can you briefly explain the concept of six-man pass protection for those like Sayers who probably aren't used to it?
We would destroy his six-man when we were playing at ODU, dude. We were nasty. Our D-line was crazy.
No, it sounds like you didn't do anything. You were on the sideline and convict whatever, dude.
Not when Coach Johnson was there my senior year. Nope, I was not. But maybe
it sounds like what you're saying is that six men used to destroy you
during the spring.
Yeah, man. No, it's, you know, that was a really talented D line. I'll give you that. But I think I recall a whole lot of non-padded Monday 2-minute drills where you guys ran a whole lot of blitzes that I never saw on Saturdays. Oh, in our six-man pro, really for us, that's going to be a drop back world. How we have it set up, it's we try to give information to the line in terms of where the quarterback's launch point is going to be and how we call everything. And so I think that's one of the big pieces of it. Line's got to know what spot on the field they're going to protect. Yeah, for us, our six-man stuff, really trying to stay more in a drop-back world. We've got some six-man play action, all that kind of stuff. My thoughts for this was just staying more in the drop-back world of it all. But yeah, I think the benefits to it, right? Obviously, there's a lot of different ways that you can do it. It seems like about anybody you talk to, they've got their wrinkle on it, how they do it. And I think it's great because you have that flexibility to do a lot of different things. And now there's elements that you got to be really thoughtful about quality control and making sure that there's not necessarily tendencies that are going to get you in trouble down the road. Right. But for us, it's our way to, it's really the mainstay of our offense and what we're going to do in the pass game.
Coach, when you say you're a six-man and you say everybody has like their unique parts about it, would you classify your protection as a combo style protection? Do we got a gap side, man side, backs fitting on that man side? How do you guys do it?
Yes, we're a little unique, truthfully. It's for us, our six-man pro is man protection for the line. And really, like, there's always caveats to everything, but in a real general sense, man, we want to get the O-line on five guys. Those are their five guys. We use our back as a little bit more of a full scan guy. We'll build in a side within things, but really at its core, we're a man protection team, right, wrong, or indifferent. There's definitely, we do some of the combo stuff. That's a little bit different protection for us, but we'll do some of that when just different ways, keep the defense off rhythm a little bit.
How often do you, or maybe even do you have a preference between having the running back out of the backfield versus having a tight end on the line or a tight end in hip and being that six man in pass protection?
Yeah, we'll do both. I would say it's significantly more running back driven, probably in all reality for us, 80-20, 90-10. We're primarily going to be six man with the back. We have a way to do it with a tight end. I think that when you're doing it with a tight end, there's just a couple extra layers of teaching. You can't ask the tight end to be a full scan guy, not from 2 yards. And things change. That's where you're going to go to a little bit more of that combo deal where you're going to have a true slide side that's going to work to whatever shows up in their gap. You're going to have a man side, but that really, even on the man side, there's some elements where you've got to sort things, like, not to get in the weeds on it, but like for us, when we're using a tight end on the man side of that protection, that becomes like a sort pro. And so those guys, that guard, tackle, tight end, really become 3 sorting 4 defenders. And there's some stuff that they might have to squeeze down on, some things that they're fanning out to, all that stuff. So it's a little more complex, necessarily the running back version of it is, but there's a place for both for sure. I think for us in our system, there's a really important, like, having flat control in certain concepts where, you're going to run out of people. So you got to have the back out there. And okay, you get into one of those situations. Hey, I love this formation. I want to be in 2x2, but I need a third guy to the field. How can I use the tight end now? And that's the thought process we go down when we do choose to use that tight end 6-man pro.
So a little bit about communication and a little bit of that, Coach. I know sometimes it's built in with a number scheme. That's a little bit more of the combo man stuff, but you guys are saying you're particularly more everybody's manning, but how much do you put on your quarterback or running back with that protection from a communication call standpoint? Is your quarterback scanning and reading? Is he flipping or changing anything? And is he responsible to hold somebody with some type of RPO a lot of times? Like, how does that work in your system?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I would say the majority of it, it's driven up front. Are basically what happens is between our tackles and our center, there's some communication between them that has to go on. Then the center will go, okay, he takes all that information, goes, all right, here's where we're working. This is our ID. Now, there's times where those guys following the rules that they're given, right, there's a couple things that will get them on the wrong guy. And so we basically study the crap out of those with the quarterback and go, hey, these are the 2, 3, 4 looks that week, whatever it is, that these are going to be problems. You got to know this. You got to see it. And when you see this, you're going to move them. So we put it more on the quarterback to be the guy that's going to move things for us, and then put it on the center to get us going. As far as the running back goes, they play a really big role in it. Because they're full scan guys, they have to be really tied into who the ID is, which side that their eyes are going to start on based on their alignment, all those kind of things. And then who can they eliminate? And basically, based on who the O-line goes to, they're able to eliminate a couple guys out there. And because we do still want those guys, like if we're getting a 4 or 5-man rush with the ID coming, like I still want the back out. I don't want him just sitting there scanning forever. There's still got to be elements where his eyes has to be able to get through a progression very fast and him get out into a route.
Hey, Coach, how much during the week are you practicing like blitz pickup and blitz protection throughout the week? And how many different stunts are you usually trying to key on? Do you guys have a limit? Okay, we're only going to key in on this many stunts because we're not trying to overload our guys too much.
Yeah, yeah. We do every day, man. I'm very fortunate that our head coach is, as much as Coach Reiser is, his background's as a quarterback, right? One of the best to ever do it. But the truth is, man, he understands that if you're good up front and your O-line and your D-line are playing at a really high level, that you're going to have a good football team. And more than anybody I've ever been around, he prioritizes the big guys. And we have a team run period and a blitz pickup period every single day. And it has helped us up front tremendously. So, yeah, basically we get about a 10-minute blitz pickup every day with the entire offense. It is the starting receivers, like everybody. And then typically during one of our special teams periods every day, we'll have a second blitz pickup, and that'll be with – we'll always have the quarterbacks, and then just, hey, if you're a running back and you're not on this team, like come over here with us. And that's where we'll get into some of the corrections from the start of practice, or we'll go over some new stuff. But in terms of what we try to key in on, it's all the percentage game. It really is. Hey, if these guys these are the 5 things that they do, and the numbers say that's – what they do, then we'll key in on those. If they're going to do eight things, we're going to try to get to eight things. We're going to figure out the ones that are going to give us the biggest issues. And you prioritize reps based on how big of an issue it's going to be. If it's a matter of just, hey, you got to read that nose, and when he works away, fall back. We'll do that once or twice and make sure that the guys see it and they've done it. When you're talking about, hey, you're going to have to bump him and then he's going to have to bump that guy, that's something we're going to get 10, 15 reps in a blitz pickup period, throw it to him a couple times in a team period. We're going to rep the crap out of that.
I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I don't know if it's just the way I see the game, but that's where I feel like I start. Like when it's the weekend and you're going through that tape for the first time, it's just blitzes for me, man. It's favorite plays, it's blitzes, it's different things about personnel. I'm with you. We work blitz every day, whether it's a walkthrough period, we're actually repping it, throwing it into the cards too, and things like that. Last year, I thought one of the cool things we did is we made a blitz Bible. We just took our four or five biggest opponents we had coming up.
Yep.
We just had an off-season Bible. So as we were just walking through things or doing seven-man stuff with our guys, we were already working stuff in the winter, springtime, already starting to work some of that stuff.
I love it. I'm going to call it that. I got a binder that I made up, and I'm going to call it the Blitz.
I call it the Blitz Bible. That's what we call it.
Kyle, you're in a public school. Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
I'm going to reduce your thunder on that. I'm calling that in.
Good. Runs in your blood.
Coach, is there anything when you can look at this on more unconventional fronts, whether it's a three down or a stack, or even so much a dominant or one of those blue chip players that you guys are going to play against in the D line? Is there anything along those lines that really makes you have to switch up just the concept of this six man pass protection? Between whether it's a front or if it's a style of defense or just one single player makes it, we can't man up one-on-one here.
Yeah, I would say the two things that'll get us to change a little bit would be what the blitzes are, right? If a team, they're a boundary pressure team this 70% of the time, and we've never seen them bring nickel Mike, right? Cool. Then we might say, hey, screw all those rules in an effort to play even faster. Let's go put it on the will every play. So we can do some things like that. Fronts hasn't really given us a need to change. That really hasn't, but certainly individual players have. I think much like Coach Stout's talking, man, that's where we start. You're watching through their personnel. You're figuring out who the guys are. You're watching the blitz tape. You're watching the favorite, the big runs and all that kind of stuff early in the week, because when you're playing against some of those big time guys, man, I think that's the part where early on in my career, it was always, we'll lock him down. We got this. And now I think just being humble enough to go, hey, we need to have a plan for this guy, whether it's we're going to chip with a tight end, with a running back. Whether it's, hey, we're always going to put the ID to this cat's side. That way, I said we build in a slide within it. We're always going to put the ID over here. That way, we can protect against this D end a little bit more and slide to him. Or we've had, in our protection, we have help rules. And so typically, you're going to help out, right? Usually, the D ends are the guys that are going to be the guys that go and get paid. And so, but you're playing a war daddy nose, and it's, hey, look, guys, this week, if you find yourself in a spot to be able to go and help, we want to help on that guy. And so having the flexibility to do those things, I think, is really important.
Coach, I'm big in asking people a little bit about, obviously, you're a great resource, but for somebody else who might be listening, what are some other great teams or coaches you've learned from or you would suggest to get better at, say, maybe a six-man pass pro?
Yeah, there's a lot of really good ones out there. I was fortunate enough, my background, my O-line tree a little bit. A.J. Ricker is down at TCU. I think those guys do some really good stuff. I think he's found a way to really take at the highest levels of football and not necessarily overcomplicate things. I think he's a really good resource. Sam Pittman is the head coach down there at Arkansas. And he really, our system was invented by him. And so he's certainly a great resource in how we do what we do. And then there's going to be a million of them. There's so much good football out there, man. And I think the local boys, Ohio State does as good of a job as anybody in the country with varying up how they do their six-man pro. I thought they were a really cool case study through the playoffs in terms of it felt like every play was like the game plan play. When those guys, man, they were scheming guys up and doing some unique things and presenting it in some really cool ways. I think that's the part that I think is really cool about it, is going and seeing guys get a little unconventional with it in what they're going to do.
I like it. I feel like we've given everybody a Bible. I got a question written down. I'll wait till we're off camera. I'm going to save one for the end here. I know Coach don't want to say it, so I'm going to ask him. So, Ryan, go ahead, man. You got anything you want to wrap this up?
Nah, Coach, you got anything else you want to tell the people?
Oh, man, I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful to get to come on here and hang out with you guys and do this, man. You guys are doing a really cool thing. This is awesome. Never done something like this before. And
man, you're a natural. You killed it, man. Hey, we're glad. We appreciate you coming on.
No, this was awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Nah, Coach, we appreciate you hopping on, man. Make sure, hey, everybody that's listening, download, subscribe. Make sure you leave suggestions. Let us know things you want to hear, people you want to hear from. And continue to like, subscribe, download on all the platforms. We're on everything. Really, Tyler, are we allowed to talk about?
Not yet. We got some big news coming. We got some big news coming.
Love it. Yeah, I'm crushing you guys on Spotify
right now. There's some big news coming that might air itself on the next episode. We're wrapping something up, and then we actually have a business call tomorrow, too. So we've got some things in the
cooking. We got a lot more sponsors
cooking. We got some things cooking
right now.
That's awesome. Couldn't do it on this episode because it's getting canceled from early.
That's right. All right, man. Coach, we appreciate you. Hey, good luck, year two. And just, hey, thank you to Gardner Webb Football. Thank you to Coach Reiser yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we came and we team camped there, and your staff was always there. I know, huge shout on a personal level. When we just moved a young kid to center, you came and you spent a little time with him and helped him figure out, like, his way, snapping some things. So you're a great guy. You would go above and beyond, and we just appreciate you, Coach Reiser's staff, and everything you've always continued to do for Ohio high school football, man. So good luck to you guys in year two.
And the next one is Coach Dean, man. We're going to have to get Dean on here. We'll have all the Gardner Webb coaches, all my guys down there on.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little spring tour sometime. You never know. We got to mix it up. There. Head come out on. And have a little spring tour on site.
Come on, man. We're right on the way to the beach, man. We're right on the way there
with the brass.
Yeah. All right. Come on. This will be your room.
All right. One love, everybody. We'll see you.